Hello, world. Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 245. I'm creator and host, Don Hutchison. Every day, I interview someone from around the world who has discovered her talents to do work she loves, to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Once a week, I interview a well-known expert from the fields of personal or business development who share experiences, tools, and insights to help our listeners along their journeys. Too many Americans are putting their health at risk by following myths and misconceptions, according to naturopath Roseanne Lindsay. She learned this truth when she faced hypothyroidism head-on, turning her back on the so-called experts. Roseanne Lindsay, ND, is a naturopath, writer, health freedom activist, and author of the book, The Nature of Healing, Heal the Body, Heal the Planet. Roseanne came to healing through her own journey of reversing profound hypothyroidism naturally, from which she discovered her gifts as a healer. Her mission is to guide others on their journey to heal themselves. Well, as we've discussed before the actual interview, Roseanne, today's topic is the state of health in America today, or the lack thereof. So talk about where we are in our country with health modalities and issues and et cetera.
Sure, that's a huge topic now.
I know.
I think that if we were to paint a picture of health in America today, we could start just by listening to people's conversations. I mean, what are people talking about at the water cooler at work or around the dinner table or just at lunch? They're all talking about their shared symptoms of disease. And at the same time, it's ironic that they're also, in the next breath, they're talking about how we in America are the healthiest in the world and how we live the longest. So there's a contradiction, first of all. And it's really, if they're listening to themselves talk, it's really a myth and a misconception that Americans are healthier today and that they live longer. The true state of health in America, if we go to even just the internet and do a Google search on the latest studies, that one, we're sicker than previous generations, and most of us know this.
Yes.
We live it. We don't seem to care about it too much. We're basically in denial, and it's not headline news. There doesn't even seem to be much motivation to change this fact. We just go plod along, see our doctors, get the prescription, and we just live our disease.
Oh, I love that. We just live our disease. That's exactly right.
So our natural state is health, and energy flows where attention goes. So if we're focused on disease, we're focused in disease-based medicine, how are we going to find health? The U.S. actually ranks 47th in life expectancy.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, which means that, I mean, if you consider, this is 47th in all industrialized nations. So we're basically dead last at the bottom of this list.
So to speak.
Yeah, so to speak. And at the same time, we rank number one in healthcare spending. So if we do the math, the disease industry is big business. And why would anybody have any incentive to change things?
Exactly. What I see, and I know what you see too, just being advocates for better health modalities in every way, is at least, thanks to this thing called the wonderful thing called the internet, at least the word, and you're, you know, one strong advocate, the word is getting out there, and the scales are falling off a lot of people's eyes as they see through the sort of the medical, what do you call it, was the military industrial complex, which is still around, I guess, but now they're calling it the medical industrial complex, of how, you know, the pharmaceutical companies sort of call the shots on information that's out there.
Right. And more people are getting on that health bandwagon. They're trying to find healthy ways. You know, if they look at these growing epidemics of autoimmune disease and cancer, they're only starting to look once they're diagnosed. They don't tend to preempt this diagnosis. Like in my own case, I was trying to preempt it and I still ended up with an autoimmune disease, but I wasn't going deep enough. And so we're given a label, we attach ourselves to this label, and suddenly we're a disease. And instead of focusing on how to reverse that disease, we're made to conform to the disease. We're given a prescription, and we're made to stay on it the rest of our lives. How are we healing from that? That's treatment. It's not healing. So the first thing I'd love for people to understand is this contradiction of treatment versus healing and what we need to know to heal ourselves, because our bodies are naturally going to want to come into balance if they're given the tools that they are looking for. if we can go beyond the label, we'll find out what our imbalances are. We have blood sugar imbalances. We have metabolic imbalances. We have neurologic imbalances, weight imbalances, hormone imbalances. We have food allergies and intolerances. And where does this all come from? We have to look at the causes of all of this. This is not caused by a deficiency of drugs or surgeries. You know, it's caused by diet, which I know you want to talk about.
Yes.
And poor diet leads to vitamin and mineral deficiencies. And as a naturopath, and I know a lot of holistic healers, we're looking at the causes. If you know the cause, you know the cure. So if we're looking at diet, we're looking to fulfill vitamin and mineral deficiencies. If we're looking at our exposures, we're looking at what toxins are we taking in to the body on a daily basis from our food, our air, our breathing, basically, and our water supply. And then we're looking at levels of stress, because we need to also focus on this mind-body connection that nobody's talking about, or, you know, a certain segment of the population is talking about. But even science recognizes that stress is 90 to 100% of disease. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to talk about this mind-body connection. And then on top of all of those things, we have this EMF exposure that's come into our lives in the last 3 or 4 decades. It's just grown exponentially. And EMF rays, I mean, EMF frequencies, they're found in our appliances that we live day to day with in our homes, but they're also our cell phones, our computers, cell phone towers. Once we go outside, they're everywhere. And
That's electromagnetic fields, right?
Yes, and electromagnetic frequencies. And they're not only immunosuppressive, but they're also pro-inflammatory. So these are also additional things we need to talk about when we're talking about exposures, so that we can reduce them.
Yes, exactly right. Well, you know, life is hard, and people are stressed and they're working hard. And I mean, I think the best example of how we get lulled into the wrong lessons about our health is what just came out in the last month, I guess, with the FDA changing all its changing its entire perspective on what constitutes a healthy diet, right? We've been told for 40 years that we need vast amounts of protein, and we need vast amounts of meat, especially, and dairy, and the wrong kind of fats. Most fats are bad, and it's now they've just almost turned that pyramid upside down, right?
Yeah, well, I think they're having to listen to the demand of the population, which are finding new ways to eat. And people are themselves going to seek out philosophies of food that resonate with them, that help them live better, help them live with vitality. I think under the current diet, the food pyramid from the 1980s, it's the SAD diet, standard American diet. And it's no wonder we're confused by all the diets that are out there. We're not healing from them. It's that diet's based on carbohydrates, and mostly refined carbohydrates.
Exactly, which is nothing but sugar. When the sugar is the bigger, it's the bigger cause of cancer than anything else. We now know, right?
Yes.
Wow, amazing. Well, yeah, I was noticed that a recent book came out by a guy named Michael Pollan, or a documentary on In Defense of Food, and this is so amazing. He called most of what people eat this, and you clearly have been living this, but most of what people eat is not real food. It's edible food-like substances that have no counterpart in nature. So for people listening out there, if you're at the grocery store, even if you're at a good grocery store, one of the top brands, if you get off the outside aisles where there are fresh fruits and vegetables and go inside, 98% of what you're going to get there, probably 99% of what you're going to get there, are edible food-like substances that are not found in nature and aren't healthy for you.
That's right. We've just grown accustomed to the fast food mentality and the food of convenience. Those processed foods are made from wheat and corn and sugar and milk and soy and seed oils like canola oil and cottonseed and things that we normally wouldn't find in our garden. And even conventional milk, all of these things are now genetically modified.
Yes.
And we haven't even done the research on how the genetically modified organisms in our foods affecting our health. But we know from our animal studies that it's not pretty.
No, it's just horrible. Well, the fellow that did the study in France for 18 months, the big companies, the agrochemical companies, do these studies for 90 days. and then they tout them as having scientific efficacy, which of course they don't. And the Frenchman, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he was just vindicated as he did studies on animals, but he did them for a year and a half, and they grew these massive tumors and had these massive problems just because they were eating GMOs. And so, you know, that's where it starts.
Yeah, and most people are not looking at the science. They're just trusting what they're hearing on TV. They're trusting the government, dietary guidelines, advisory committees. They're not looking at what actually is applied to this food that's in this that we're consuming through plastic wrap. You know, I mean, the big if people do search on what exactly is the problem with our food, all of this processed food is sprayed at the, before it's harvested. I mean, the wheat, the corn, the soy with
glyphosate.
Yes, an herbicide called glyphosate. And this damages, it's 90% of our in the food supply, and it damages not only our bacteria, it damages a metabolic pathway in our bacteria, and our bacteria are 90% of our immune system. We are more bacteria than humans, so it not only kills them, but it also affects every organ system in our body. It's creating cancers where none existed before.
It's amazing, and it's just millions of pounds of that stuff all over the country.
Yes, and so when people talk about being gluten-free, it's becoming an epidemic that people are wheat intolerant. It's really, it goes beyond the wheat. It goes to other foods too, but it's the glyphosate that's sprayed on the wheat. It's not the wheat itself. It's the poison on the wheat.
Right, exactly. Ooh, well, this is a fun conversation. Let's talk about the good stuff. Let's talk about the good stuff.
Sure.
So, okay, people listen to this and say, holy moly, okay, I thought I knew some of this. Maybe they don't know as much as they think, or maybe they do, whatever. But how do we, what can be done here? Let's talk about just some basics that don't require, some slight but important shifts that people can make.
Okay, first of all, stop listening to the advice of the Dietary Food Council.
Right.
For so long, we've been told that cholesterol is bad for us in food, right?
Right.
But there is no evidence that cholesterol in the diet promotes atherosclerosis or heart attacks. Other countries don't even single it out. They don't even talk about cholesterol as being bad because for the most part, less than 25% of cholesterol comes from our food supply. There is no correlation between the cholesterol we eat in our food and the cholesterol we find in our blood because our bodies make four times that amount. And it's four times than the amount that we eat.
Yes.
And it's made in the liver and in all our cells. So our bodies need cholesterol. Our brain is made of 60% fat.
Right.
Primarily, that's mostly cholesterol. And then our heart, the area around our heart is made of cholesterol. Our skin cells are made. We can't make vitamin D without cholesterol.
Right.
And so that's another, vitamin D goes to the sun. We shouldn't be taking supplements. We should be getting vitamin D from the sun. That's how it's made in the body.
Right.
We're told to slather ourselves with sunscreen. Well, that's the biggest way to produce vitamin D. And again, that uses cholesterol. And what are we doing? We're limiting the amount of cholesterol we allow our bodies to make by taking statin drugs. So you can go down the line and connect the dots and see that we really have to stop listening to the prevailing wisdom and the status quo information out there. We need to start thinking for ourselves and going to sources where, I mean, the studies are out there.
But wait, here's the thing. I think this is perfect. I think that listeners ought to hear this too, though. And so much of this is about power and control and the big companies that have the money. I mean, you can call it conspiracy theory. I just call it the way that that it works in this system, and mostly it's bad. But here's what listeners have to know. What Roseanne just said about the cholesterol issue, that's just not her opinion. You can't just blow it off as you're driving blithely down the road. That's decision, and those facts were just brought out by the FDA after 35 years of telling us just the opposite. So look that up and check the source, and the source is the way you've been living your life incorrectly for the last 35 or 40 years. Right, Roseanne?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And
I can
give you a couple studies for your listeners to go and seek out. I mean, it goes back 100 years or more that cholesterol is actually protective of the heart and of old age. Right. So the older you get, the more you're naturally the body will make cholesterol. You want a higher level of cholesterol as you get older. It's right. protective. There was a 2004 study, I believe, in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition, where they saw that saturated fats reverse atherosclerosis in postmenopausal women. There haven't been just studies done with men, which is the prevailing amount of data out there. It's on men. But women also show that you can reverse risk for heart disease by making sure you have enough intake of saturated fats. Also, a 2005 study in the Journal of Neurology said that high total cholesterol levels in late life reduced risk of dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Japan even has research that says people with higher cholesterol live longer. So you can go and do the seek out the studies. That's the great thing about the internet. You can actually find the real studies, go to the source and see the truth.
Yeah, exactly. And before, all we had to count on was people that were thinking outside the dots and maybe didn't have the bona fides or the resumes. Well, now, like I said, when you go to the FDA, which gave us the wrong information in the first place, well, now they reversed their decision. What pressures were put on them to do that and come clean? I don't know, but they did that. So talk about the good fats, the saturated fats, because we were told forever in that erroneous information that saturated fats were bad. Now we know saturated fats are good and trans fats are bad. So what are the saturated fats? Is that like that's coconut oil and olive oil and et cetera?
Yes. Coconut oil is excellent. It's saturated fat. It's the same fat that, like I said, our heart needs and our brain needs and our skin cells needs. It doesn't require extra energy to make energy from that. It helps metabolism. It helps you maintain a good basal body temperature. There's so many benefits of coconut oil, but avocado also. Avocado is a great source of saturated fat. It's 77% fat, and your listeners will like dark chocolate, 65% yes. fat, excellent source.
The dark chocolate has to be 75% cocoa, right? It can't be Hershey bars and all that stuff.
Right. Good point.
Okay.
Whole pastured eggs.
All right.
And there are several food philosophies out there now that talk about, you know, getting your food whole, pastured, fermented. Western A. Price Foundation is one of them that I would advise people to look into. There's also the Primal Paleo and Price Foundation. It's a new branch off of the Western Price Foundation. These philosophies go back to traditional foods and the way we used to eat when we were always healthy, when we used to be healthy until we dropped dead at age 75.
Right.
So it's like if we can go back to those ideas and philosophies, we're doing ourselves a favor. Other foods are fatty fish, nuts, chia seeds. I would even say raw yogurt if people want to do dairy. I don't recommend dairy if it's processed for the reasons we talked about before, but I would recommend raw yogurt and raw cheese.
Those are dairy products that are not pasteurized, right?
Correct.
Okay.
They have a full complement of vitamins, minerals, enzymes, immunoglobulins, all the beneficial tools your body needs to heal itself.
Okay, well, keep on going. What are some other...
Well, olive oil is also good. If people want to cook, you know, I say take away all those vegetable oils because not only are they refined, which was the real cause, I believe, in the 1950s of this starting the trend upward in heart disease and heart attack. It's this focus and concentration on eating vegetable oils. It's not natural. Going back to basic raw dairy, raw butter, olive oil, ghee, which is what the Indians, Eastern Indians cook with. It's clarified butter. And you can get that from just raw butter and clarifying it to get the ghee. And coconut oil is one of the things that I use. It has a very high flash point. So when you cook with it, you can cook at high temperatures and it won't go rancid.
Mm-hmm.
And if you cook with other oils, I mean, be careful not to cook with olive oil unless it's just regular olive oil. You don't want to cook with olive oil because it has a low flash point. And if you heat it too high, it becomes rancid. So
exactly.
A lot of people don't know these, and the internet can help there too. Some of this information is there.
When you talk about a balanced diet, and we were talking this morning with another expert about detoxification, but if you look for a diet that gives us the most energy, the most bang for our bucks in terms of food quality, how do you talk about that? What kinds of foods? And I know the raw diet is the preponderant piece of all of this that most people might be surprised to hear, but how do you talk about that?
You know, there are so many diets out there. That's why it's so confusing. Generally, I think going back to basics is really important. The Mediterranean diet, which some people call, I don't like labels, but more fruits and vegetables, beans, nuts, healthy grains, less healthy grains, meaning if you can do sprouted grains, because again, processed grains are a danger in the current paradigm where we're putting toxins on everything. Right. So if you can grow it yourself in your kitchen by sprouting it, or if you can get organic or beyond organic foods.
Grains like quinoa and millet, the ancient grains, or even kamut maybe, are far better than rice and all those other things, right?
Exactly. Perfect. Yes. Okay. I would go more to fish than red meat, unless you can get your meat pastured from a local farmer. Because even with dairy, I would only do it raw because, and from a local farmer who knows what he's doing. These are farmers who are supplementing their soil with minerals so that the food that comes into the cow and that will come into you eventually is of high frequency. Our bodies are made of frequencies. They're electric and magnetic. We need the frequency of our food to be high quality also, because it's not just the food we're eating. I really try to talk about this to my clients to help them understand that we're more than just the physical. It's also the energy of the food that we're eating that creates complete health for us. So a lot of people who can grow their own food, you're growing it in an area of your energy. And there is some complementary, you know, mojo that happens when you do that, when you actually plant the seed yourself and then harvest it and cook it. Connecting those dotted lines, we've lost complete track of to where today kids don't even know where food comes from.
Oh, I was talking just the other day about the fact that I saw some clip on the internet of an expert like you that was talking to a grammar school class, and she held up, you know, fruits and vegetables of just kind, you know, just basic potatoes and tomatoes and broccoli and cauliflower and et cetera, asparagus. Not one kid in the room knew what those were.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
It's terrible.
And it hasn't even been that long. Two generations, three generations ago, there were, the majority was farm families, people who grew up on the farm and ate their own food. And now, I mean, it just shows that if we can come this far so quickly, I mean, we can reverse it also. We can go backwards and back to what we've already known. And our bodies also reflect this. Our bodies can heal themselves if they get what they need. I think the most important point of this conversation is to get the right information and then put the right foods in your body, and you can create anything that you want to do. Your bodies inherently know what balance is. And when we talk about health, we're talking about balance in all, in everything, body, mind, and spirit.
Yes.
So we not only need a balance in our food choices, you know, of what the food pyramid or any pyramid would look like. I mean, that's just a symbol. We really need to listen to what our bodies are asking for. And that's connecting to your body in a different way than we normally do. It's about going out inside your body. It's about also applying tools like meditation or walking in nature or getting close to the earth.
Yes.
These are all, it's a connection between you and the planet, from the food you eat to the air you breathe to the water that it gives. And water is 70% of this planet. It's also 70% of our bodies. There's the connection right there.
Well said. You know, strength is weakness. Strength is weakness. And so one of the great strengths of Americans, wherever they hail from, but or in America, is the inventiveness and the ability to build systems. And, you know, going back to the car manufacturers and now going to the computer manufacturers and the software and the hardware and everything. It's brilliant. Well, we turned that on to farming, and it seemed like a good idea at the time, right?
It
seemed like a good idea at the time. And so the Monsantos of the world said, well, you know, they hung out under the rubric of, well, there's just not enough food in the world, which of course is BS. But they hung out under that rubric, and we've got to produce a lot more food, and we've got to be more efficient. And so all of a sudden, we have more people in prison than we have farmers in America, okay? That's a statistic I read recently. And so the Monsantos of the world and the Bayers and the Syngentas and all those folks to sell pesticides, I'm sure there were people there that had the best intentions of all. I'm sure they did. I pray they did. But now we've got a system where they've taken over so much of the arable lands, and the genetically modified, the genetically engineered foods are, you know, they've been proven to cause cancer in animals and and they've also caused all kinds of stomach viruses and problems. And so we're in this huge battle in our country around, can we even get labeling for that? It's amazing. This is America. So we're having to fight the big corporations to say, hey, if you want to make those foods, I'm certainly not going to touch them because I think they're unnatural and they cause bad things. But at least tell us that that's you got those GMOs in there, okay? Oh, no, hundreds of millions of dollars fighting that. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, but you know what? This is where the good news comes in. We can always turn negative news around to positive news, and I always focus on that because people, you know, energy flows where attention goes again. And so what we can do is we can take our power back. They only have power over us because we consent to it. Right. And if we just say no to that, now that we have the information and the knowledge, then we can use the wisdom to say no and stop supporting, stop subsidizing. The government's going to keep subsidizing them. If they're not going to label it, they don't want the people to know the information. They're going to keep subsidizing them. But we can stop subsidizing them with our own choices. We don't have to support them with our money. We can grow our own food, and it's already showing to be true because
bingo, the organic movement is just, it's really just this major movement that's fighting back like crazy.
Yes. And seeing it the result is that Monsanto's having to close like three major research facilities around the world. They're having to cut thousands of jobs. Their stock price is plummeting. I mean, these are good signs. These are signs that show us we are taking back our power. We just have to keep going with that.
Oh, you couldn't be more right. And look how many countries have said, get out of here. We don't want you. Scores of countries, even Russia. I was amazed by this because, you know, we have an interesting relationship with Russia, to say the least. But even Putin said, we want to be the biggest supplier of organic foods in the world. Now, can you imagine?
Yes.
Russia comes out and takes a stand that we should have taken a long time ago. That's a little bit embarrassing. But but that's it.
He must have had a consciousness shift. I mean, there is a consciousness shift going on. I just don't think we're quite caught up to him yet.
Well, that or there was some economic reason. I don't care.
Yeah.
As long as he and 50 or 60 other countries are doing that. So I think that the organic movement is not a small deal. I mean, now entire chains of Chipotle is doing that, and so are many, many others. So this is very illuminating. Tell us just a few tidbits, our listeners, just a few other insights about their daily eating and their daily health habits that you would like to share.
Well, I think if we can focus on getting enough fats in our body, I mean, the topic of fat has been kind of a focus of this conversation. You know, the original food pyramid said less fat, but really our bodies require fat. They require it for cholesterol and for vitamin D and for our hormones and for bile to digest our food. It's so integral. Along with that, make sure we're getting enough water. Water is the staff of life. Wheat was original staff of life, but I like to say water is more than just a solvent in our body. It actually holds information, and it is needed. It's 70% of our body mass. If we don't get enough water, well, we tend to be hungrier and we tend to fill up with food when really it's a dehydration issue. So I tend to tell people a simple way to remember this is to drink half your body weight in ounces of water a day.
Okay.
And also, if people aren't getting enough of their minerals, Celtic salt or a sea salt is a great way to add that to your diet, and you can just put that right in the water that you're supposed to be drinking.
Oh, that's great.
So I say like a quarter teaspoon per a quart of water, or half a teaspoon per half a gallon of water, or 1 teaspoon per gallon of water. So most people should be drinking almost a gallon of water a day, but in short, you know, spurts throughout the day, and make sure that each of those quarts have salt in them.
You know, that's fascinating. That's another one of the great myths. We were told all our adult lives, oh, no, you can't have too much salt. It's bad for you gain weight. It's bad for this and this and this reason. And you and other experts have told me over the last few years, as long as it's Celtic salt and those kinds of salts, there are two or three that are worked, it's just vital.
Yes, and you know why? Because it's similar to the profile of the minerals found in seawater. And people used to go to sanatoriums, I forget the word, to heal long ago, and they would be put in the seawater, and that would, you know, absorb through the skin. You'll get your minerals that way. But swimming in the ocean is a good, if it's not polluted, it's excellent, but you're needing minerals. We're mostly demineralized and dehydrated in this country and around the world, and that's the cause of a lot of disease too, beyond the stress level. So yeah, the salt that people have been told to eat again from the Dietary Advisory Council, they've used a bleaching process to remove all the minerals and then right. add back in certain things. And it just isn't good. It's actually the cause of heart disease and heart attack. It actually stresses the heart. But if you start adding the minerals back in, the body takes a big sigh.
What water filter, forgive me, what water filter do you like, since water is so full of, good Lord, you could get started on a zillion things, chemicals and fluorides and all kind of stuff that aren't good. Do you like a filter that you use that you recommend, since most water is kind of tainted?
You'd need like an RO filter to remove the fluoride and some of the toxins, but RO is not what I recommend because it removes all the minerals. So then you're mineral deficient in your water. But if you do have an RO filter, you know, don't despair, because I just say add salt to that water.
Okay.
Remineralize it. I also believe in structured water, and there are several good companies out there. Echo Water, the Echo Water system, has a structured water machine that you can attach to your faucet, and it restructures, it revitalizes the water. It's like structured water is what you get when you collect water at the bottom of a mountain. It's down the mountain, it's collected all these beautiful minerals. It's part of nature, and it's alive. When we get water out of our tap, it's traveled how many miles through dead pipelines, and it's basically not vital. So there are ways to revitalize that through structuring it. I like to also, I supplement that water with, I get Hinckley Springs water delivered to me. I know it's a pure source of spring water. So if people can get spring water, that's another good way to do it. I also write the word love on that bottle, because love is a vibration of the highest source. It's the highest vibration. And I believe it imparts that frequency into the water. And a lot of what we do is based in beliefs. So it's not too far-fetched to go ahead and say, put the word on the water, what you're drinking, that you believe will help enhance your life. Love is the highest vibration. You could put anything else on there, joy, vitality, whatever turns your crank.
Yeah. Floats your boat. Well, what a great pleasure having you on the show as our expert this week. We thank you so much. How do listeners get in touch with you?
They can find me on Facebook at Nature of Healing. They can also go to my website, natureofhealing.org, where I have a blog that I put out every once in a while. The last blog was on vitamin D, and we didn't get to talk about that, but
maybe it's for
another time.
Yeah.
But there, it's really important, some new information on vitamin D that isn't getting out in the mainstream. Or they can also contact me on Twitter.
Oh, excellent. So what's your Twitter handle?
Roseanne M. Lindsay.
Well, listeners know you can go to discoveryourtalentpodcast.com to the podcast section, and you'll see the highlights of this very illuminating interview along with these connection points. You also have a book, The Nature of Healing, Heal the Body, Heal the Planet, right?
Oh, right. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, you can get that on Amazon.com.
Good. Excellent. Thanks, listeners, for joining us today, as always. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We cannot ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive. We thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.